This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 with Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa in a last man standing match and Shayna Baszler against Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship. Want more pro wrestling audio in your life? Right now you can get a month of ProWrestling.net membership for 99 cents. Use the code SUMMER18 at pwmembership.net and you can get a decade of our SummerSlam audio reviews, plus an ad-free web experience, plus the exclusive .net weekly audio show where Jake and Jason go through the news of the week. All for 99 cents for 1 month. Sign up using the code SUMMER18. So, Jake, it is SummerSlam weekend, which means it is NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 4 weekend. Crazy that this is the fourth NXT TakeOver to take place from Brooklyn. It seems like just yesterday I was sobbing about Sasha and Bayley having a great match in Brooklyn. And here we are 3 years later where... I don't know. I'll cry about something on this show.
Yeah, another loaded card. I mean, yeah. Seriously, the best NXT card of the year by far, at least in terms of my anticipation level. Like they just don't. There's no wasted space on these NXT cards, and I think it's something that they could really benefit from doing on the main roster. I mean, even if it means not getting everybody on every pay-per-view, you know, the making these shows feel like they're events is an important part of why NXT is such a success story. And they just don't do that elsewhere in WWE. I mean, SummerSlam suffers from some serious bloat in that regard. So I'm really looking forward to this as being most likely the show of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm putting together my video preview of SummerSlam right now, and as I do it, I'm like, why is Finn Balor and Baron Corbin on this show? Like, what purpose does this serve? This is a cold match. This is not something anyone cares about. Yeah, Finn Balor should probably be on the SummerSlam card, but he would actually benefit from not being on the SummerSlam card more than he would benefit from having a match with Baron Corbin. That's just not going to do him a whole lot of good. And I think WWE needs to figure that out and figure out that less is more when it comes to these big cards. That's one of the great things about this NXT TakeOver card is, well, it's five matches. That's
yeah, it. I think you could probably get away with removing, you know, a couple of different matches from the SummerSlam card. I mean, I guess, you know, Balor and Corbin is the one that jumps out, but what, you know, Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens feels extraneous in a way too. You know, like there's, and they do have three pre-show matches as well, which, you know, seem excessive on certain levels. So, and then Just looking at them in comparison, where you're like, okay, you got one show that's got five matches and I'm excited about all of them. And then you got one show that has 13 matches and I kind of got to pick and choose, what I actually want to tune in closely for and you know what I'm not going to. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the way that these shows are structured these days, with all being 5 hours or whatever.
Well, and even the kind of flow of the show just feels so different with the NXT takeovers. You can stay, your energy can stay high for the 2.5 to 3 hours a takeover takes. Like you can go on that ride the entire time. SummerSlam, I feel like I crash every WWE pay-per-view. I feel like about 2 hours in, I'm like, oh no, here it comes. Like the crash sets in and I have to like get back up. Like I think there is a fundamental flaw in WWE show structure that is deeper than anything else. Cause even, you know, I stay up and watch the Tokyo Dome every year and Lord knows at 5 a.m. I'm like, I am sleepy. I would like to go to bed. This show is too good. Like this show will not let me. I'm tired. Plus, you know, Jason will yell at me if I pass out midway through covering a show. Something, responsibility to the site, something. Just kidding. Jason's never yelled at me. Jason should yell at me sometime.
Yeah. Well, I get what you're saying. Like, you know, the structure of these pay-per-views and even the television broadcasts, I mean, it hasn't really changed in 20 years. Like, I mean, it just, you know, the shows feel pretty much the same. Like the players change, and the you know, some of the setting changes, and you know, stipulations change. But like, you know exactly what you expect when you turn on a WWE television show or pay per view. And I think there's an element that's sort of missing there. Like the format needs to be shaken up quite a bit.
And that's something that the NXT shows do. If anything, they present a radically different format of professional wrestling that I think is even different from what you see on the indies, because indie shows generally suffer from a lot of the same bloat issues that WWE shows do, where they go really long. Everyone wants to steal the show. Like they get kind of obnoxious in that way. NXT is a different beast than a lot of other wrestling shows, and it's really fun to watch. So let's get into this card, starting with the main event. Let's go for it. Tommaso Ciampa defends the NXT Championship against Johnny Gargano in a last man standing match. They did an injury angle to take Aleister Black out of this match. And before we get to kind of predictions, Jake, do you think it was the right idea to not replace Aleister Black with anyone else?
You know, I talked to Jason about it, I guess a little over a week ago now on .NET Weekly. And at that time, I thought, you know, I don't know if I necessarily think that there's enough new ground to break between Ciampa and Gargano that I almost wanted them to add somebody back to this. But, you know, another week goes by and you have some time to think about it. And I think they put together a really nice video package for the to feud on Wednesday's NXT television. And yeah, I'm just on board with the match being a singles match. I don't know how thrilled I am with the last man standing stipulation. I think those matches can get pretty formulaic and often boring with all the counting and, you know, the contrived spots where, you know, oh, he's, you know, the guy's back to his feet at 9.75 instead of 9.4 this time, you know. So I guess the you know, that part of it has me a little bit scared that it might be a letdown in comparison to some of their crazier encounters that we've seen in the past. But I think they've earned the right to have a singles match for the NXT championship, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am sort of with you. I might have thought about making EC3 and Velveteen Dream a number one contenders match for later in the night or something like that, just to give this show a little bit more structure too. But looking at Gargano and Ciampa, it's so hard to get someone else involved in that feud. And they did that with Aleister Black, and they did that pretty well on TV. I think the issue they're going to suffer from here is they turned Gargano into a tweener, thinking Black would carry the babyface load and Ciampa would carry the heel load, because Ciampa was getting cheered a lot. And now without Black in there, you've got tweener Gargano and cool heel Tommaso Ciampa. I think Brooklyn may go insane for Tommaso. And while I do expect Ciampa to win this, I think this is kind of Ciampa's time to be NXT champion. I really worry that Gargano and Ciampa are going to kind of see an unintentional double turn here. And I don't believe Gargano can play a heel.
Yeah, he certainly, I mean, he's done it before on the indies, but I don't think it's his strongest suit. You know, he definitely plays the underdog babyface. You know, that's sort of the role that just kind of fits his groove. And I don't know if they're going to be able to pull off Gargano as a heel if, you know, what you just laid out takes place. It would be new ground for him. But I guess I think he's talented enough that they'd be able to pull it off. Or maybe that's when you just decide, let's pull the trigger on sending him up and just have him go become a babyface on the main roster, because he'd get that reaction there anyway.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is even if the fans in Brooklyn boo him out of the building during this match because they like Ciampa so much, if Gargano's music hits, which is great music, by the way, I sing along every time, this Rebel Heart. If Gargano's music hits on Monday night, everyone's going to lose their mind in Brooklyn. The same fans who were booing him will be like, yeah, I love this. This is my guy. So I think that's a really great way to handle it if they say don't want to keep him down in NXT because they feel like they've damaged him. And then you do have the story of Ciampa banishing Gargano from NXT, finally achieving his mission, and you can send Ciampa off in another direction with the next set of NXT tapings that would be pretty dynamic. Yeah.
And they do have a shortage of baby faces, particularly on SmackDown. And so he might be a pretty good fit there.
Are you with me on Ciampa winning this one?
Yeah, I am. I just don't. I mean, they went through all that effort to have him win the title on NXT programming, and it feels a little bit too premature to reverse directions now. If anything, you know, this match will serve as a blow off to this feud, and hopefully it does mean that that Gargano can make a move upwards. I don't know if that is what they have in mind or not. You know, it's anybody's guess, but it seems like it would be a nice conclusion to a very you know, intense NXT run for the past 2 years for him.
This sort of reminds me of, you remember when in 2008, what a year it was, when Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho had that very intense feud through the summer. It involved some wife punching and various other misdeeds. Michaels and Jericho had that really intense feud, and Jericho ended up backing into a world championship reign, and they blew it off with a ladder match between Michaels and Jericho at No Mercy that was really intense. And this match kind of reminds me of that. I think they may have been better served by a ladder than by a last man standing stipulation, but I'm sure they have some ideas and are going to do some cool stuff with the last man standing idea, and it gives them a little bit more creative freedom to mess around with that stuff, so, and to call back to their previous matches. So yeah, Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship. Is this the end of Shayna in NXT? I think it's become almost like you lose the title as you graduate in NXT.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. It's a nice sort of send off to have a memorable championship feud in a match. And I don't know if Shayna will immediately, you know, go to Raw and join her, you know, her longtime friend Ronda Rousey. You know, it would make sense for me, you know, to have them, you know, have them together and be friendly. I think, you know, Jason asserted on the Boom podcast, you know, this past week that he thought, you know, she might immediately challenge Rousey, but I think it may be too soon to put two people who are so, I guess, you know, built on their toughness and invincibility that it would be difficult to sort of manipulate through that feud without having one of them, you know, lose a lot of credibility. So I think it will be the end of the line for Shayna, but I think she'll probably go on and be, you know, the friend of Rousey on the main roster, and eventually they can work themselves into a feud over time.
Do you think it would be fun, say, just an idea, say Rousey, you know, Rousey doesn't have Natalya with her on Sunday. I might think about taking Shayna and having Rousey come out with Shayna, essentially. I assume Shayna will get, you know, if Shayna does the NXT takeover curtain call that a lot of people have done after they've lost, you know, their last takeover match, kind of, you know, lingers in the ring, does a little bow on the stage, gives a wave. If she does that, and then she comes out on Sunday in Rousey's corner, I think you'd have something pretty special as far as a pop for Shayna. I also, going back to this match, I think this is going to be really good. Kairi Sane's awesome. Shayna Baszler's awesome. And I think they can have a really great dramatic match that tops what they did in the finals of the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think Kairi has sort of expanded her game recently. I think what they've done with her on television, about her sort of unlocking this, I don't want to call it a dark side, but certainly, you know, a level of toughness that they haven't really revealed before with the cute exterior and the pirate character that they have her playing. So I think it's been good. I think it's sort of rounded out her act a bit, and I'm hopeful that, you know, they can use her well enough as champion to continue to build that division, because they, you know, they're going to need a strong champion with all this new talent they have incoming.
Yeah, with the Mae Young Classic being as stacked as it is, and kind of just a really huge women's roster, they have a lot to work with, and I think Kairi could be the stabilizing champion that allows people to establish themselves and get over in a lot of the ways that Asuka did. But I think there's just going to be a lot more depth around Kairi than there was around Asuka, which is a good thing. Adam Cole defends the NXT North American Championship against Ricochet. Jake, this feels like something I would have seen at a PWG show in Rosita a couple years ago. I like that. this, I think, will be that sort of match. I'm curious to see how it plays in the big building, but I think this one's going to be pretty insane.
I mean, that's kind of true about NXT period, though. I mean, there's so much of the talent that used to make up PWG shows entering the NXT roster that it's kind of indistinguishable from an indie show from several years ago. But that it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm glad people are making money and have a stable place to work.
NXT
and income
certainly pays better than PWG. Spoiler, or hint to everyone listening: PWG does not pay people well, or all that much, or a lot at all.
Well, and not to mention, the schedule and everything else. I mean, NXT is a pretty good place to work at this point. If you're if you're somebody who's trying to transition to being, a televised wrestling star. So I'm hyped about this match. I think this is a potential show stealing match. Cole, he's such a great character, and he's so soft. Solid in the ring in terms of fundamentals. It's Ricochet. Everybody knows what an athletic freak he is. So, between the two of them and the people, the agents at NXT who always seem to really put together clever matches, I think this one has the potential to be a really high watermark for this show.
Yeah, I think that this is one that just the energy during this match is going to be off the charts, and I think Brooklyn will bring a lot of energy to it. An interesting thing. Jake, I expect Beach Balls on SummerSlam. I expect them during Raw. I expect them during SmackDown. I don't think anyone's going to bring a Beach Ball to NXT TakeOver. And I think WWE needs to think long and hard about why that is and try and replicate this formula. Going back to our show structured discussion. But Cole and Ricochet, I think, will be a high watermark on the show. And I don't know if the stuff that I expect to be after it, and Shayna and Kyrie and Ciampa and Gargano are going. I don't know if those will top it, but I think everything's going to be different enough that you're going to have something really fun and dynamic. Who do you think wins this?
I'm going to say Cole retains just as the first encounter between these two. I expect these two to be feuding over that North American Championship for another few months, and maybe we'll see Ricochet get a win later on at the next TakeOver show. What is that, around Survivor Series? I guess I can't remember exactly when the next is. It War, maybe War Games 2 would be the next show.
Yeah, I think it's the War Games 1 the night before Survivor Series. I actually think Ricochet wins the title here.
Okay.
I think I have that happening, and it kind of sets up a Team Ricochet versus Undisputed Era thing in War Games, depending on how they do War Games this year, if they're going to do the three team, if they're going to replicate War Games 98 or they're going to replicate the good ones. Always a question. I think Ricochet wins this. We have for the tag titles Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong of the Undisputed Era against Mustache Mountain, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. I think O'Reilly and Strong retain here just to kind of further an uneven night for Undisputed Era feel of this.
Yeah, I guess it would be the reverse of of what they did at War Games last year. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong, but I believe the Undisputed Era heading into War Games last year were they multiple champions? I can't remember if they had both.
I don't think so.
No, maybe they weren't. Yeah, I'm remembering it wrong. But I think you're going to want to have some gold and something on the line for all these teams heading into War Games, whatever they'll end up being. So it'll have to be an interesting set of television tapings to find out what ends up coming out of this, heading into the fall, because I think they have two tapings between now and the War Games show. And so the first set of tapings will probably lay that groundwork. But I think the Undisputed Era retain here, and maybe they do a title change in between now and then to really make it seem like the Undisputed Era are desperate heading into the War Games show to recapture some of that gold.
Yeah, I think they keep doing rematches of some sort on TV, and I think they'll try to create some controversy going into War Games, just because it's War Games. You want it to feel really intense going into it, but I'm not sure who else you get involved if they do the third team.
Yeah, it's sort of an open question at this point. Maybe it'll just end up being two. I mean, the War Games has been successful in the past with just two teams. And, you know, Lord knows, you know, if they put together a team Ricochet against the Undisputed Era, they'd have plenty of athleticism and star power in that match. So I think it could work with just two. But I guess the third, maybe you could put an NXT UK faction together. I guess I don't know.
That could work. You know, you have Pete Dunne already, and Mustache Mountain is kind of British strong style. You can put those three. I want to say it was three man teams last year. I could have that wrong. I'm not fully recalling. I would rather see 2, 4, or 5 man teams, but that's, you know, that's just kind of my preference in War Games. And I think you could do some really fun stuff with like Ricochet, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, and maybe him trying to lure the Velveteen Dream to join him. I think you could get some really fun vignettes and stuff out of that and get fans very much behind that team because everyone loves the Velveteen Dream. Which brings us to the Velveteen Dream versus EC3. Who do you think wins this one, Jake? Because I've got my non-existent money on Velveteen Dream here.
Yeah, I was going to pick Dream too. I don't have a really strong opinion on it. I think you could go either way. It really depends on which of these two guys, maybe both of them, maybe recruited by a team heading into War Games, depending on who it shakes out and how many teams there are and who the captains are and that kind of stuff. So I think this feud will probably extend, you know, through television, you know, and into the fall. So, and, you know, Dream seems like a good first pick, and then you got EC3 continuing to banter with him.
Yeah, I also think you can probably call up EC3 this week if you wanted to. There's no reason for him to really be in NXT aside from just waiting for the opportunity to be on the main roster. And if he puts in a good takeover match, I could see it being like, okay, cool, let's get him on this main roster and have him be the top heel he could be, or even the mid-card heel he could be on either Raw or SmackDown. I think the divisions on Raw are going to get jumbled a little bit as we actually get a Universal Champion on the show, so having another stabilizing heel could be really important to that show to get, like, a heel chasing the Intercontinental Championship to kind of define where that division begins and the Universal Championship division ends.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, if he does end up getting called up, I think Raw makes the most sense just because they're going to be going through sort of an odd transition. You know, they're going to have a regularly defended Universal Championship, you know, hopefully, and that'll cause some cascading changes throughout the rest of the card. I guess we'll have to see, you know, who ends up, if there's any alignment changes among people on the main roster. I really can't see EC3 being successful as a babyface with the current incarnation of his character, you know, just with the way WWE books babyfaces at this point. But I could definitely see him being a compelling heel around that Intercontinental Championship right away.
Yeah, I think he could be really, really enjoyable there. And I think that's a gimmick that actually works a little bit better on Raw than it would in the small sphere of NXT, where kind of everything, the goal a lot of times is let's get cheered and not let's get heat. And I think he would do really well on the main roster again. How excited are you for this show, Jake? Like, we talked about it being the show of the weekend. What grade do you expect to give this show when you're talking about it next week?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be, you know, 9 or 10 out of 10 by the time we get through it all. I mean, it's they're just so enjoyable, even if, you know, some of the matches don't necessarily live up to the very high expectations. It's just 5 matches, a couple of hours, and you know that you're going to see something crazy on these shows, and they're typically timed out, you know, exceptionally well, and we rarely see, you know, any kind of disappointment here. I mean, unless there's a freak injury or something like that causes a match to run short, and gosh, I hope that doesn't happen. But everything on this card is so solid, and they have so much, you know, time and you know, there's so many creative people down in Florida that help them practice and plan these matches that these shows are always very tight. So I'm expecting to be very, you know, very high on this show, probably a 9 or 10, like I said.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really fun show, probably the show of the weekend, and I'm looking forward to watching it probably early Sunday morning because I, you know, have to work and stuff on Saturday nights. Someone really should have warned me that getting a job in entertainment would ruin my wrestling watching.
They didn't put that in the contract. You probably aren't going to have hobbies after this.
Yeah, you don't get to do fun things when other people do. That would have been cool. Yeah. But yeah, this will be a really fun show. Jake, what's making you happy in wrestling this week?
I was really happy to be wrong about the G1 climax matches, to be honest with you. Like I had fully expected Okada and Naito to be in the finals of the G1 this year, and to see, you know, Bushi and Tanahashi have that match that they did on the climax show just was really exciting and different than I expected. So that made me pretty pleased. I was excited about the outcome, and I think you know, Tanahashi having a bit of a resurgence is a very good thing for New Japan.
Yeah, I think the Tana resurgence is cool, and I'll tack on. The thing making me happy was Ibushi making it to the finals. I thought that was great. I had to spend a day in mourning because he didn't win the G1. I got real sad for a little bit because I really thought that he had a chance to win it at that point, and I thought that that would have been a very fun G1 victory, and my only complaint about Tanahashi winning is, like, we've been there. We've seen that. Like, we've seen that, and it would have been something new and really fun and a cementing victory for Ibushi. And I recognize that New Japan doesn't often do that, especially with Kota Ibushi. But I feel like they've got him now in the same place he's been since Wrestle Kingdom 9, where he's just outside the top four guys in the company looking in. And it's been time to pull the trigger on him for a long, long time.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's one of those things where I could easily see him end up challenging Kenny Omega for the IWGP Championship at Wrestle Kingdom this year. I think there's a definite possibility that, you know, they don't go with the G1 winner as the title challenger, because it seemed like they were setting up you know, an Okada and Tanahashi rematch with the way that they sort of had Tanahashi frantically trying to put him away just to show that he could still do it at the end of their G1 match that led to the final. So there's definitely a lot, kind of that open, you know, ended storytelling that they're doing where you could see Ibushi cracking into that championship picture very soon.
Yeah, I think they would benefit from that, too. I think making a bigger star out of Ibushi would be a smart thing for New Japan to do. But then again, who knows what talent will be in New Japan come after January this year? Because that's a big mystery we'll be keeping our eye on as we get to the end of the year and see what free agents WWE tries to scoop up.
Literally all of them. They will try to get all of them, I'm sure. Yeah.
With a lot of money. That's what's expected there. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have the absolute best week and SummerSlam weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.